If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The Senate has voted down a plan to lock in low interest rates on some student loans for one more year. Two Democrats joined Senate Republicans in blocking the measure, which needed 60 votes to advance. The rate on some Stafford loans doubled to 6.8% 9 days ago. The White House has produced a new report highlighting the economic benefits of the Senate immigration plan, which would put 11 million immigrants on a path to U.S. citizenship. House Republicans are meeting privately today to discuss how they'll deal with immigration reform. Most experts do not expect the House to vote on the Senate bill. And the White House is upset with critics of the administration's plan to delay the employer mandate within Obamacare.
People who suggest that there's anything unusual about the delaying of a deadline and the implementation of a complex and comprehensive law are deliberately sticking their heads in the sand or are just willfully ignorant about past precedent.
Spokesman Jay Carney insisted that his comment was directed at Republicans and not Democratic Senator Tom Harkin, who has questioned the White House's power to change the law. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello there. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening, the Wednesday, July 10th, 2013 edition. And the number, of course, is 718-305-7176. The chat room is open for business, but frankly, at this moment, I've got bigger fish to fry than that. We're going to go right to our guest. And I'm very, very pleased to welcome Dr. Alita Eck, who is candidate for the United States Senate in New Jersey. Doctor, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for being here. So you and your husband are both physicians, and since Frank Lautenberg died, now Governor Christie has called a special election to fill the vacant seat from the Garden State in the U.S. Senate. And you're running for the GOP nomination against a blind guy named Lonergan, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your campaign. And since you're a physician yourself, I'd certainly like to get your take on Obamacare.
Sure. Well, let me tell you, when Frank Lautenberg died, I was working in the non-government free clinic that we had established 10 years ago. And I volunteer 4 hours a week every Monday. And I happened to see a patient there who was she's a teacher's aide. And was told that she was going to go from 37 hours to 29 hours a week because of Obamacare. The employer couldn't afford to pay for insurance, didn't want to pay a $2,000 fine, so that was the solution. And I'm finding that is true for a lot of people. They're getting pushed to part-time because of Obamacare. And it realized that Obamacare was doing the opposite of what you would expect. It was actually starting to hurt people. Hasn't even been implemented yet. Well, at the end of the day, I got a call from a board member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, which is an organization that I was the president of last year. And they encouraged me, why don't you just put your hat in the ring and run for the U.S. Senate. Now, I'd never run for office before, yet I know a lot about healthcare. I know about caring for the poor. I've studied the Medicaid system and how it's really failing, and it's causing the taxpayers a huge amount of money. And I thought if I could go to the Senate, I could be a citizen legislator, not a career politician, but somebody who just knows a lot about an issue and about education and about how the economy is being destroyed and about how our foreign policy is getting just far too intrusive in other countries, and we're sending our men abroad to fight wars that are not defensive. And so I question the Constitution. I think we've just abandoned the Constitution in so many ways. I would love to be able to get into the Senate to do something about it. So we went from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Yeah.
No, that's fine. I mean, it is very, very obvious to, I think, anyone that pays any attention, the fact that the United States government has violated every one of the first 10 amendments, which comprise the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution, and they do it blithely, and they do it with basically a certain measure of arrogance, and every single one of them has been violated. And
well, they've taken an oath.
Yes, they've taken an oath to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution, and they just basically walk all over it like they don't care.
They now, don't mean it. Right?
Exactly. The race that you're in, do you, I suppose it would be Cory Booker, is that his name, the mayor of Newark?
Yes, he would be the Democrat. He's probably the one that's going to be the Detroit of New Jersey. He's probably going to be the Democrat nominee. And I am up against Steve Lonergan, who has run for governor twice and was the mayor of a little town up in North Jersey for 12 years. And so his experience, it's not a whole lot more than mine running a town. I've run a business and I've run a free clinic. So I think our experience is relatively equivalent. It's just that I think I've got real solutions. And we've been working on a plan in New Jersey to have a lot of clinics like ours where we donate our time and the patients don't have to pay. The cost to provide care is so low that it only costs us $13 per patient visit. And when I think of the Medicaid system, when the federally qualified health centers, the federal clinics operate, they claim it costs $160 per patient visit. And if these people show up in the emergency room, it's $1,000. So these numbers are just, they just captivated my mind, thinking, what are we spending money on, and why are the taxpayers being forced to subsidize such an inefficient system? We could do so much better. And we're saying
there's
that we would like to...
There's something wrong there, yeah.
Absolutely. We want the state simply to protect us from medical malpractice and our private practices if we donate 4 hours a week. The numbers work out amazingly. The taxpayers would save so much. We would stop ordering the 30% of the testing that is unnecessary. We do it for defensive purposes. We'd start using common sense. We would just treat the patients the way they need to be treated. And, you know, patients would private practice would come back. Right now, that's something that's becoming a fatality of all this government intrusion. And we could turn that around, and I think it would be really good for healthcare, really good for physicians, patients, and taxpayers.
If healthcare in this country looked any way that you could get it to look like, if you had,
Magic
Barbara
wand.
Eden shows up, yeah, Barbara Eden shows up, and she goes, boy, you know,
yeah.
What would healthcare look like in this country? What would it,
oh,
what
wow.
would it look like?
Three layers. First of all, just like you take your car to get service and you get the oil changed, that should be routine medical care. You save up for it and you just put it on your credit card and you pay for it. Most people could do that. Avoid the third party in 90% of medical transactions. That would lower the cost immediately. Then you get high deductible insurance or catastrophic insurance for the big things that you can't predict are going to happen, the heart attack, the surgery, the broken leg, that we used to be called hospitalization. And you didn't use it routinely. You just kept it for the medical rainy day. You kept it for, you had insurance in case something big and bad happened, just like every other kind of insurance that we have. And then the other thing would then is we can't abandon the poor, and nobody wants to do that. The thing is, if a government system worked to take care of the poor efficiently, I would be all for it. But it is such a disaster, and you get so tied up in bureaucratic paperwork and administrative decision-making, and goes up and down the line. Nobody can make a decision on their own. They have to ask permission for everything. It just takes so long to get things done, and so the Medicaid system, I think, is horribly broken. It's taking up a third of the average state budget. Can you imagine? Medicaid system for the poor. Takes up one-third. $13 billion in New Jersey, our whole budget is $33 billion. Can you imagine if we could just downsize that maybe not, you don't get rid of the whole thing, but give people choices. Let them go to a clinic where they can get care and they probably see the same doctor a lot. You know, they could schedule for the same time he's there, 4 hours a week. And you have a place for them to go instead of going to a government office to sign up for a Medicaid system. And it's just, that would be so much better for the poor. And, of course, the big thing is you'd still have, they would need help. But even charity, even hospital used to do charity, and it wasn't something that the taxpayers had to pay a fortune for. So those are the three tiers, cash, high deductible insurance, and charity. That's how we should do health care.
Of course, the fourth tier is to dramatically limit the amount of control and influence that attorneys have over the delivery and practice of medicine in this country, because I'm sure you'll agree, you mentioned yourself a few moments ago, that so many tests are being run strictly as a defensive measure. And I mean, I'm absolutely certain that most physicians would not order an entire battery of tests when a patient presents, other than the fact that their insurance company has said, okay, if somebody comes in with this symptom, these are the tests that you must order. Has that been your experience?
That's not quite the experience. It's more that the person comes in and they have certain symptoms. If you don't order tests right then, and then they, God forbid, they go out and they never come back and something terrible happens, they're never going to ask you, why did you order too many tests? They're going to say, why didn't you get this test?
Right.
So the knee-jerk response for the physician being defensive is just saying, well, I better order everything so I don't miss anything the first pass. If you get to know patients really well, you know which ones are likely to come back and which ones are going to tend to not. You could tailor make your decision-making on that. But I'm talking about a new patient that walks in. You just tend to think, you feel defensive. And we order 30% more tests than really need to be done. And that has been a statistic that is pretty well documented. So if we had this system now where now the physician is just protected, the one who's offering all this free care that is going to really take a huge bite out of the huge entitlement system, then you just protect those doctors. And every year they have to get redeemed. We actually are covered for what we do in the free clinic by the federal government. So you take the same paperwork, the New Jersey or the state would then pick that up to cover the rest of the practice. I know this sounds complicated, but we've really worked it well through. And we actually have a bill in New Jersey, Bill S-2231, that is bipartisan. These legislators realize that we can't afford Medicaid anymore, and we can't certainly afford this Medicaid expansion that is being foisted upon us with Obamacare. Something's going to have to give. So they're looking at this very closely.
I'm not sure why government is so heavily involved in this and every other aspect of Americans' lives nowadays. Doctor, can I ask you to bear with me for a moment? I need to tell all of the people how happy we are at conservativenationradio.org to bring you our new show, which is called Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, to our lineup here on Mondays. Now, even if you're not from the Volunteer State, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and some of the most informed and knowledgeable guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure that you don't miss it. It is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name, and I'm honored to have on the phone with me this evening Dr. Alita Eck, a physician in New Jersey, who is going to be, I kind of hope that she gets the nomination from the GOP to run for the U.S. Senate from New Jersey. And, of course, since she's a Republican, I hope that she gets elected. Doctor, we don't make any bones about the fact around here that this is opinion radio. We're like all Republicans or libertarians here at CNR.org. no big government liberals, nothing like that. So
yeah.
If
they're
you
my
love
kind
America,
of people.
Yeah, if you love America, you're among friends here, as we say. Now, the Senate and the House, of course, have different responsibilities under the U.S. Constitution. Not that a pesky thing like that is going to matter, especially not with a guy like Obama in office. He really couldn't care less about the Constitution. He just wants to boss everybody around, quite obviously. But I'm sure you have been paying attention to a lot of the things that are going on in the world today, and some of these what I think are crazy and ridiculous treaties that are coming out of the UN and are being embraced enthusiastically by Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Obama, restricting people's gun rights and all the things that we're doing over in the Middle East. Foreign policy is a responsibility of the U.S. Senate. What is your outlook on some of these things that are taking place now?
I kind of agree with Rand Paul on a lot of that and his father on the fact that we just really need to think long and hard before we get involved in the affairs of another nation. And mostly it should be defensive, but we really should not be nation building. I mean, you don't see other countries trying to build nations all over the country, all around the world, and trying to fix things. And even imposing democracy on other nations, that's just not that way they've been for the past 2,000 years. And for us to say that, well, we think democracy is best, so you need it too, and then if they have an election, and then we don't like what that elected official does, and then we take sides there, and it's like, wow, what are we doing? I take Egypt. I mean, we have been supporting every side of this issue and of these different factions in at one time or another. So they all hate us. I'm just thinking, you know, wow, what are we doing in Egypt?
I think that's a fair question at this point. Is there anybody that knows the answer to it?
No, I saw a really good editorial about that where until we have economic freedom, you're not going to have any kind of political freedom. And economic freedom is the one thing that is so totally lacking right now in Egypt. Property rights are not being respected. And, of course, they put the Islamic law into effect, loads of rights are just disappearing. So the people are very angry, and you're not going to have political stability while that's in place. And you can take a lesson from Chile. Chile, they elected a man who then became more of a dictator and tried to institute communism. Pinochet came along and had that military takeover, and he stayed in power, but what he wanted to do was see economic stability come. And they sent a team up, and Milton Friedman helped them. They set up a social security system that is the envy of the world. And after 15 years, he did step down and said, okay, now you don't need the military to keep the peace any longer. And Chile is really like the jewel of South America. I mean, that type of scenario would be great to see something like that happen in Egypt. I don't know if it's a different culture. But I just think of that. You think bigger picture. And certainly our military really should not get involved there.
No, I agree about that. Doctor, you have a few more minutes with us tonight. Is that right? Do you have about another 8 minutes or so that you can?
Yeah,
okay,
I'm speaking about 15 minutes at a place. I'm fine.
Very fine. Okay, I'm going to actually put you on hold, and we are going to take a little break. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. It is about 19 minutes after the hour, and I am joined tonight by Dr. Alida Eck, a practicing physician in New Jersey who is running for the United States Senate. Going to take care of a little bit of business. Your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Your fairy godmother?
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. Thanks a lot for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. This is the Wednesday, July 10th, 2013 edition. I'm your birthday boy. How you doing out there? I am joined and very honored to be joined by Dr. Alita Eck, a physician in New Jersey, who is running for the GOP nomination for the U.S. Senate now that Senator Frank Lautenberg has died. Dr. Eck, Frank Lautenberg, very, very successful businessman. He was the founder of ADP, Automatic Data Processing, big giant payroll processing company, but he voted with the liberals. I don't really understand that. What's the deal? Do you have any idea?
I have no understanding why people are liberal. It just seems like, yeah, it's so anti-business. So unless they just do so well that they feel that maybe they can control the whole world. They've controlled the business very well. I mean, that's what I tend to think. And then they can use government to fix any problem that's out there. And it's just absolutely not the truth.
No, and there are quite a few problems that government cannot solve, and that government was really never intended to solve in the first place. And, you know, I think we're looking at an awful lot of them now. We have huge portions of our population in this country where the children are born out of wedlock. We have huge swaths of the population where there are unmarried young girls and women who are wondering how much of an inconvenience raising a child will be, what to them. What is your outlook on abortion? It's always a hot-button issue.
Well, I'm a physician. I'm personally pro-life. I respect human life, and I'm just in awe of what God does when a child is conceived, and the baby is always alive. So I'm just definitely pro-life. As a U.S. senator now, I believe that this is really a state issue. It's not something that the federal government ought to get involved with. And I believe we have to change the hearts and the minds of people and not do it by government decree. So, I mean, that is my view on, what government's role ought to be. Definitely, as the late-term abortions are horrendous, and those are... It's all human life. But anyway, I'm pro-life. I think Roe v. Wade was wrongly enacted for a couple reasons, one being that it was the federal government overreaching. some states had liberal abortion laws, some states didn't. But why did they oppose it on all the states? So that would be something that's the stance I would take.
You know, at the end of the day,
I have to say it's none of our business. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, it's clear, at least it should be obvious, that the U.S. Supreme Court will decide things not based on the Constitution or based on legal precedent or anything else. They're going to decide things based on finding reason for the individual justices to rationalize their own thinking about something. I'm wondering whether or not it might be time for there to be a term limit on the justices and for people to say, look, you've got 8 years or until you get to 70, whichever comes first, and then you're out and you can't run for re-election. I mean, would that idea make sense to you?
Or at least have some type of a referendum, decide whether these justices really are upholding the Constitution. Is there a way to call them on decisions that are bad? Obviously, I read the Constitution. I can say that Obamacare is not constitutional. So how they came up with a rationalization that it was, is totally beyond me, and it boggles my mind.
Well, it's kind of like in World War I when Woodrow Wilson got the Congress to pass a law that made it illegal to criticize the U.S. government's policy of being at war with the Kaiser, and people were put in jail for that. And guess what? The U.S. Supreme Court upheld it. Hello, it's black-letter law right there in the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of the press or of speech. And that's exactly what they did. And the Supreme Court, with Oliver Wendell Holmes concurring, upheld it. They said, yeah, it is constitutional. Of course, back then, I think during that court, there were four or five justices that had fought in the Civil War. So they had a completely different outlook on it. You know, there was nothing theoretical about the war for them. Now, when is the primary election in New Jersey?
Good question. The primary is in 5 weeks. It's August 13th. So I've had to put together a team very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And try to raise funds. I mean, it's an uphill battle. There's no question. And
yes.
The grassroots support has been pretty remarkable. And sometimes it's very hard to gauge just how powerful that is. And only time will tell. If anybody wants to help me, we have a website, xforsenate.com.
Yeah.
And I'd be your senator, too, because there's only 100 of us. So,
right.
Even if you're
right.
In Delaware or any state. So
we need good senatorial representation here. We have one guy that has apparently never had any employer in his life except for the U.S. government in the state of Delaware. And we've got another guy that freely admits that at one point in his life he was a Marxist. So those are our two U.S. senators in Delaware. If you get elected, I'm going to go up to Trenton and ask whether or not we can borrow you, because I'd rather have you speaking for me than these guys. Now, that is www.ecforsenate.com. And there's a picture of your smiling face and your intelligent good looks. And since you're a physician, that doesn't surprise me. But I hope that we can speak again, and I wish you all the very best luck. Is there a number that people can call to either donate to your campaign or maybe to volunteer? We have people listening in New Jersey.
Let's see. I'm looking at this form. There is a number. It's right on the website. I don't have the
okay.
It's P.O. Box 5070, Somerset, New Jersey, 08875. That's the mailing address. I don't have the phone number right at my fingertips.
It's okay. That's all right.
But anyway, yeah, the website, xforsenate.com.
Doctor, thank
most
you
people
for
are going.
Yes, well, that's the way things are being done nowadays. I mean, look at us. We're here. We are on the internet speaking together. Thanks so much for spending some time with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Best of luck to you, and I hope that we can speak again before the election.
That'd be great. Thank you. Thanks,
have a nice night now. Thanks. All righty. A very, very nice lady, and I met her at the Faith and Freedom Coalition in Washington a few weeks ago. And this, obviously, the unexpected and somewhat untimely death of the late senator from New Jersey, Frank Lautenberg, meant that people kind of had to scramble. I mean, politics is messy. You know, it's just, it's messy. As they say, there are two things that you do not want to watch being made. Sausage is one, and laws are the other one. Now then, speaking of laws and speaking of the U.S. Senate, we have a new feature that I wanted to shoot past you here on Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. I don't know if you've ever heard of this dude from Texas whose name is Senator Ted Cruz. He has a couple of thoughts here on the Freedom Minute. Give this a listen, and I will be back with you in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute. One of the most troubling aspects of growing government in Washington has been the explosion of regulation. In the past 20 years, 81,883 final rules have been issued. That's more than 3,500 per year, or 9 final rules every single day. With Obamacare alone, we have over 20,000 pages of regulations. Think about that. How on earth are entrepreneurs and small businesses supposed to know how to comply? Even worse, per employee, regulation costs over $7,000 for big companies and over $10,000 for small companies. And that's no accident. That's how big government works to hammer new startups. No wonder the economy is stuck and so many Americans are out of work. We can do better with a lot less burdensome regulation. I'm Ted Cruz, and this is the Freedom Minute.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Hey, I liked it. I'd love to hear your opinion. If you like it, maybe we'll carry it regularly here, either here at Radio Free America or on conservativenationradio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176. Incidentally, you know, I know we're all singing from the same sheet of music on this particular issue, although every once in a while in the chat room I see somebody that I don't recognize, and I wonder if it's the NSA just kind of checking up on us because the president doesn't like people like you and me. That's because you and I are conservatives, right? I mean, seriously, what would I be doing working here if I were not a conservative, and would you not be listening if you're a conservative? That means that you love America and our Constitution just like we do. Now, here's the deal. Since that is the reality that we are sharing, you and I, just like me, you're going to need a place to get all that great stuff that you see out there. Sometimes you see people wearing different shirts with great patriotic and anti-leftist slogans on them, the latest books, bumper stickers, patriotic flags, all those things. We've got your pipeline to that stuff. It is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, the aforementioned conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse that's got all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag, proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution, and start doing that right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. More of your calls are coming up. So stay right where you are.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities. The building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
GoatsForTheOldGoat.com.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. I am your friendly local warder at this particular insane asylum. Duke Brooks is my name. My phone number is 718-305-7176. This is the Wednesday, July 10th, 2013 edition of the Internet Radio Blogosphere Broadcast of Vision, whatever you want to call it. Most unstructured, freewheeling, and light at heart sort of radio show, because we're kind of light at heart about things around here. There's some things that we take seriously. Our Second Amendment rights would fall into that category. Somebody the other day said, "Why do you need an AR-15? Now, look, I don't own an AR-15. If I were going to own anything like that, it would not be an AR-15. It would be an M16, but I digress. But I don't own any firearms right now. No, Mr. Burglar wannabe, I'm not going to give you my home address so you can come over and help yourself to my computer. Actually, you know, I'm not convinced that would necessarily – I don't know. You know, the funny thing about computers – the faster they are, the slower they are. Have you ever, you know, the one that has 9 billion chip cycles per nanobit, you know, all that kind of stuff, they're slow. They're very slow. It takes my computer 15 minutes to boot up, just to get ready. 15 minutes, but I digress. So here is a liberal who accosted me and said, "Yeah, I hear you on that internet show. I used to listen to you on the radio station, and you're all a bunch of gun nuts. All you want to do is go around killing people." Well, you know, that is, I mean, is that not exactly the way that liberals, quote, think, unquote? If you can call it thinking, you can't, because it's not really thinking. But in answer to the question, why do I need what he called an assault rifle, my answer to him is I need something like that for the exact same reason that Rosa Parks needed to sit in the front of the bus. Rosa Parks had every right as an American to sit in the front of the bus. I really don't care what the local laws or ordinances or customs were in Birmingham, Alabama. I just don't care. Okay, they were wrong. And they're not like that anymore, which is a good thing. 718-305-7176. Your rights are your rights. It is that simple. There are 10 amendments. The first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution are known collectively as the Bill of Rights. And if only the U.S. government would abide by them the way they're all sworn to do, it would really be a wonderful thing. But the fact of the matter is they do not abide by them. I think that there are simply too many people coming into the U.S. government, either as elected officials or as unaccountable, unelected, appointed bureaucrats, you know, paper shufflers, clock watchers, those people in Washington, D.C. Look, they could let go. I mean, someone in Baltimore, the U.S. Social Security Administration has its main office right outside Baltimore, Maryland. In fact, there is a major roadway there that's called Security Boulevard. Why do you think it's called that? Because if you work in the federal government, you have tremendous job security, that's undoubtedly. But that's where their main headquarters is, and it is a huge office building, and there are probably 5,000 people working inside that building. And someone at some point in the early 1980s came out with a study. I think it was a guy that was the outgoing director of the U.S. Secret Service. I forget the guy's name. I read this somewhere. He said that it would save the taxpayers money, things would get done faster and more efficiently if they were to let go one-third of the employees in that building, send another third home, continue to pay them, and only keep inside the building the top one-third of people who are actually motivated to do something and get stuff done. And he said, I had figured that this would save the taxpayers $5.6 million or whatever it was. I mean, back then in the 1980s, $5.6 million was a lot of money. I think nowadays it would get you maybe a pretty decent house, two halfway decent cars, and a couple of weeks' worth of groceries. Tank of gas, that'd be about it. I mean, thank you, President Obama, for looking after our currency so well and for operating and organizing and assisting our economy so well. Good grief. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. Welcome to Wednesday. It ought to be clear by now. Now, if it is not clear, let's put it this way, all right? If it isn't obvious, if it's not as plain as the nose on your face by now, that in droves, people are beginning to listen to conservativenationradio.org, then I don't know what to tell you. I guess you just haven't been paying attention. Listen, the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. And I'm not talking just about listeners, although that's happening too. You've got to check out Robert Garding and the New Wise Conservatism Show, which now comes to you right here on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. Robert's been on the internet doing radio shows like this and like the New Wise Conservatism Show for years. He's got a huge following. So listen up to his show on Saturday and you'll find out why. Thousands of people love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and so will you. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. About 15 minutes to go now in the towards the end of the first hour of this two-hour jaunt through the land of anti-communism and other happy subjects. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. All right, we've got a caller. I think I know who it is, but I'm going to ask this caller to bear with us for a moment here because it is just about time for us to take a break. It's just one of those things that you know, it's kind of like life. You just accept it after a while, I guess, right? Stay right where you are. Radio Free America and conservativenationradio.org. We'll be back, so don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Welcome back, and let me welcome George, who is calling from back in New York City. George, welcome aboard. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thank you so much for having me on the air tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, whereabouts in the five boroughs are you? I'm a native New Yorker. I was born and raised in Manhattan. Where are you calling from?
Oh, cool. I'm calling from Brooklyn. At Park Slope, precisely.
Okay. Very fine. So what's happening? What's going on?
Nothing really. To be honest, I was just browsing about on a Blog Talk Radio, and I clicked on your show just as you were saying that you would like some callers in. So I said, hey, you know, why the hell not? I'm I wouldn't say bored, but I'm interested in having a discussion with somebody about politics. Our nation.
Sure.
But I figured I'd give you a call.
That's just fine. I'm very, very glad you did. Welcome aboard. Now, being from New York City, my guess would be that you are probably liberal. Is that, do I have that right? Or?
Yeah, you are definitely right on that number.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. About how old are you? You don't have to be too precise. Are you less than 30? Are you more than 40?
I'm a bit less than 30.
Okay, very fine. Now, what is it about liberalism that you find to be the most appealing? What is it about that particular philosophy that really appeals to you and speaks to you? What is it about it that you like the most?
I would consider myself more progressive than a liberal if I would want to, quantify myself on the political spectrum, if you will. I certainly lean to the left, but it's more about progressivism with me. I mean, you don't see too many progressive conservatives, so that's why I answered me being a liberal.
Now, when you say progressive, specifically, what does that term mean to you?
Well, to me, progressivism is looking at the status quo and seeing where changes could be made and trying to figure out what changes we can implement, at least in our home state here, or our home nation, to live in a better world. And I think that counters the conservative philosophy of things ought to be as they had been, perhaps, all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying right there?
Well, yeah, I do, and I'm conservative. In fact, I'm very conservative.
All right.
I believe that, I mean, to me, conservatism is an acknowledgement that there are certain legal and constitutional and cultural and linguistic traditions and ways of doing things that have served the interests of our nation very, very well since its founding. And the idea appeals to me that we have a set of baseline subatomic level laws in this country that is called the U.S. Constitution, and that it has served our interests very, very well. And when people ignore the U.S. Constitution, or when people say, you know what, I think that I have better ideas than James Madison, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, that to me, I'm very, very suspicious of that. If you are progressive,
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Now, if you are progressive, then you probably, almost certainly, you believe that government has, in your outlook, has a larger role in people's lives than I would believe government does, being a conservative. Is that pretty much fair?
I mean, yes and no, because I don't want to give you a generalized outlook on how I view government should rule, and then perhaps you come back to me and say, you know, what about in scenario Y or scenario Z? And I would say, well, no, not in that. So I really don't want to give you a complete overriding yes to your question, but I think in most cases, I think government should be a bit larger. And in reply to what you previously quoted, or not quoted, but rather stated about our founding fathers, I think that there are a number of things about them and when the time they lived in that if I asked you about them, you would say, hell yeah, that should have been changed. Just for one example, slavery. Thomas Jefferson had slaves, many of the founding fathers had slaves. And that is something that, as a country, we have to grow out of, so to speak.
Well, we certainly did grow out of it, and 600,000 people, you know, males, lost their lives 150 years ago to get that question resolved. And we did get that question resolved, and no nation state is perfect. And, you know, sometimes you know, there are many things when the nation was founded, women were not allowed to vote. Well, women now vote. As a matter of fact, the majority of registered voters in this country are women. And there was a time, obviously, when blacks were not allowed to vote. They were not even allowed to sit at the lunch counter. They couldn't drink from the same fountain. They were not allowed to own guns. That's all over now. So, I mean,
and I'm saying,
when
I
say
think that those policies were due to progressive actions.
I would not disagree with that. I would not disagree with that. However, we also have in this country what is known as the progressive income tax. And the income tax, I believe, has been a tremendous, harmful, very, very injurious effect on our national economy. It has reduced the number of jobs. It has slowed down growth. And it has left the door open for very serious abuse. And that's why I'm in favor of scrapping it and going to a tax on consumption.
Well, I'll be honest with you. And in that realm, in regards to income tax and its effect on the nationwide employment and other issues, I'm fairly ignorant in that issue. So... I don't really know how to reply.
Right. George, we've only spoken for a few minutes, but I can tell you right now, I would not use the term ignorant to apply to you. Technically, no, I would not. I mean, I can tell by talking to you that you are a bright and educated person. What confirmed that is the fact that you admitted that you were not an expert that does it. Ignorant is, you know, it's one of those terms that we hear used a lot that people call each other as a pejorative. Technically, it means to simply be absent certain knowledge. And so technically it might be, but that term, you know, you're not an ignorant person. So,
well,
you know.
Well, perhaps I was a bit too harsh on myself, but
that's fine.
You understood. Is that I'm not claiming to be an expert in regards to tax issues and what the impact of they may have on this country.
Let me ask you this. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, but do you think that the United States being involved in the domestic affairs of countries like Libya and Egypt and Syria and et cetera, is a good idea or a bad idea?
I think that is a bad idea, and perhaps some of my fellow progressives may disagree on me, but I think we need to focus entirely on ourselves and consider global issues, not our top priority. I mean, look at our nation as it stands today. Clearly, I don't need to outline them for you, but we're facing a whole number of problems, and I think we need to prioritize those as opposed to spending inordinate amounts of money on our military to face global issues that may or may not affect us.
So would you say that, generally speaking, the idea that America should be, if not using its military, even using its influence or trade or political pressure with other countries is generally a bad idea, and what they're doing in their own country is something we just shouldn't be worried about?
I think I would hold back a bit in regards to influence. I think that's a bit different, you know, than military action. Because I personally, just on a sort of humanitarian level, I don't support many wars. I don't understand the concept of a quote-unquote just war. And those kind of things, those kind of concepts just bewilder me a bit. But in regards
Let me ask you this. George, I'm going to have to move on in a moment, but let me ask you this. Was liberating the millions of black people in this country 150 years ago that were enslaved, was that a just cause?
Well, I mean, I of course want to answer yes, but I think the Civil
and
War
should.
Was based on a variety of issues. Perhaps number one,
exactly,
that
yeah,
there were slavery. Slavery was perhaps the main issue, but there are a whole bunch of others.
There were a bunch, but the short answer to that question was the Civil War justified in the emancipation and liberation of slaves in this country? And, you know, I think if you ever discuss this with anybody else, if I were you, I would say not only yes, was it justified, but hell yes. It's kind of like was the United States justified in getting the Nazis out of France and out of power and stopping them from the mass wholesale slaughter and execution of innocent people all over Eastern? Yes, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't be alive. I'm Jewish myself, and I have a great granduncles and aunts who perished in the Holocaust. So, yeah, my answer to that is hell yeah. But I think that type of war is different than what's going on in Libya and perhaps other regions of the Arab Spring. Then I think we should leave up to themselves.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that. George, I do have to run and take a break, but I want to thank you for calling, and I hope that you will call back again on Wednesdays. I'm here every Wednesday from 7 to 9. My name is Duke Brooks. Duke Brooks, this is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org.
All right. Well, it's been very nice talking to you. Thank you very much
nice
for having me on air.
Nice speaking to you, George.
And, being respectful as well. I appreciate that.
And the feeling is mutual. Thank you for calling, my friend. Have a great evening. And I hope to speak with you again. And God bless you and your activity. Running a little bit behind, going to take a break. More calls coming up. Stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, Mr. and Mrs. North America and all the ships at sea. Now, I wish this is conservativenationradio.org. Radio Free America, Duke Brooks here. The number is 718-305-7176 to contribute, join in this discussion. I was going to mention a moment ago, I used the phrase, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America and all the ships at sea. I wish I was in a position to say, the first caller at 718-305-7176, if you can tell me with whom that phrase is most widely associated, you will receive $1 billion. Well, maybe I can. It's okay, here it is. It's $1 billion. You get $1 a year for 1 billion years. All right? Now, reflecting the truly international nature of Radio Free America, Christian from Denmark, welcome, my friend. What's going on over there, the other side of the Atlantic, pal?
Hello, Mr. Duke. It was Christian from Denmark. Nothing much going on over here in Denmark. The summer is moving along. What I was calling in I would like to talk about today is something that I got thinking about. You know, we hear a lot about that Trayvon Martin case.
We hear a lot about it over here too.
And it got me thinking about the whole black versus white theme thing. I think it's only in Denmark we have often been told back in the day that over there the blacks and white living together was kind of like it just worked over in America and you were getting along fine. But I think it's clear as day these days that that just isn't the case. And I think that would you agree with me that that racial politics plays a big part in the coverage in the media coverage and in your political debate and political life, that race plays a big part in that. Would you agree with me on that?
I would have to say that in the American media, which is predominantly liberal Democrat ideologues, that racial issues or racial politics is very often the overriding, dominant, and single most important issue that exists in their minds. I would agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Yes.
And there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it.
No. Or perhaps there is. All I'm thinking about is that I think that a good way for I dare say the white people to kind of get into that thing and get the things moving along. I think it's to get down with that myth that slavery and that system were all bad to the Negro population. And I'm saying that with that I mean let me just say this that slavery as such is evil. Slavery is bad. You don't want the system where one man owns another man. You don't want that, and that's evil. And
I agree.
And that's
I agree.
But and all sane people agree on that. But the thing is that actually slavery, evil as it is, had an enormous positive effect on the black people that come that live in the USA today and have lived in the USA for many years, ever since that slavery was abolished, because had it not been for slavery, the institution, had it not been for a lot of white people that went to Africa and bought slaves from other black people, that is an important fact that is hidden in modern-day history. But most slaves were actually bought by other black people that kept them as slaves. So white
That's
men
correct.
Didn't make them.
Yeah.
White men did not make the black slaves. They were slaves before, to begin with. And then they brought them over to America. And that actually gave the black people that were shipped to America a chance for a better life. Because as you can see now,
well,
even nowadays in Africa, life for the average Negro in Africa is a living hell. They're sitting out there dying of starvation and other kinds of sickness and living shitty lives, really. Whereas
you're not the only person to have made that observation. Yeah, I have heard similar observations from black people.
Yeah, so I think that actually what white people and same people and even black people that don't want this race thing to continue, they have to, every time, that they have to stop apologizing for the slavery and say, okay, it wasn't perfect, but it gave you a chance. It gave you a chance to get to a place where life was way better than it would have been if you stayed the place. And a good sign of that is that very few blacks actually, when they were freed, tried to get back to Africa. No, they saw that they had a chance for a good life in America, and they were seeking and inspired to live that sort of life. So I think they should stop bitching and stop moaning and complaining about them being slaves. Slavery was what gave them a chance for a way better life, and there's hardly any black people that have success in America today that would have had that if it hadn't been for slavery. That's
you might be right about
that,
Christian. You might be right about that. Now, I've got another caller, so I'm going to have to move along, but I would very much like to hear from you again this time next week, if that's okay with you.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for giving it. Yes. Ciao.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure to hear from you, my friend. Have a great evening,
yes.
And I look forward to talking
Same
to you
too.
Again and between now and then on Facebook. All righty. Well, I did have someone in the call queue, but Christian is calling from near Copenhagen, Denmark, and I wanted to give him the opportunity to avail himself of our rights here in the United States under the First Amendment, which they do not have in Europe. And you can get arrested in Europe for saying things that certain left-wing, politically correct forces in Europe don't think people should be allowed to say. And that is not the case in this country. You might get fired if you say something that is really offensive or rude, but the fact of the matter is the First Amendment applies to what government can do. It does not apply to what employers, friends, relatives, or anything or anybody else can do. It's one thing to say, as the First Amendment does, that the government may not prohibit you and may not, after the fact, punish you for exercising your right of free speech. That does not mean that there are no circumstances under which there would be any consequences for you when you exercise your right of freedom of speech. Now then, we do have a caller. We've got two, but I did want to mention, let me just take one moment. I see someone calling in, two people calling in. Just wanted to mention and remind you to listen to my buddy Christopher Manti every Friday night right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at its new time, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. It is a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of creeping Sharia, and the weird, wild, wacky world of Washington, D.C., and a little heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which we probably should have just called it Eponymous, comes at you Fridays at 5 Eastern, 4 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You are on the air on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, this is Mike.
Mike, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London, actually.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. And
yeah.
What is happening over there in the capital of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland?
It's too fucking hot.
Okay. Mike, we do not use those words of that nature on our air. I've put you on hold. I would like you to remember that admonishment. I'm going to put you back on the air, but on my network, we don't say things like that. But anyway, now let me ask you this. I was told the other day by somebody that the Prince of Wales is actively planning to convert to be a Mohammedan. Is that true?
I'm not entirely sure at this point in time. It's kind of all up in the air. There's a lot of secrets surrounding the entirety of the royal family. I haven't actually heard anything about that myself, but it could very well be true.
All right.
I think if it was true, the British people would be the last people to hear about it, simply because our state radio, state television, the BBC, wouldn't want us hearing about that.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's the BBC is kind of left wing, aren't they?
Extremely left wing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very disturbing. Now, what part of England? Oh, you're in London, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know the old Tottenham Court Road in London?
I have heard of it.
Okay. All right. When I was in London many years ago, when I was in college, I did a lot of great shopping there, and I found the cemetery where Karl Marx is buried. And I actually went in there at about 1 o'clock in the morning one night. For some reason, it was open. I found his grave, and I relieved myself on Karl Marx's grave. And I'm very glad that I did. And I guess I really don't care who knows that. But let me ask you this. Are you familiar with an organization called the EDL, the English Defense League?
I am very familiar with the English Defense League.
All right. What is your outlook on them? Why don't you tell all the people what the EDL is all about and what their agenda is?
The English Defense League is, I imagine you must have a sort of version of it. I imagine every country has a sort of version of it. It's a... an organization that puts England first. It wants to put ourselves before the people who come over here. You know, people who come over here steal our jobs, take our healthcare. The NHS has crashed. Our educational system has crashed. Our economy has crashed. And the EDL believes if we could get rid of all of these people who are coming over here and putting on extra strain onto our jobs, extra strain onto our healthcare, extra strain onto our school system, we could, our country would be a lot better. However, the police don't totally agree with the EDL, as I'm sure you'd be aware.
The priests?
The police.
Well, I'm familiar with the group because I see them on Facebook. They do have some really tremendous artwork. And generally speaking, I do not believe that Islam is compatible with Western civilization or the Western way of life or the Western way of thinking in any way on any level. And I think that East is East and West is West, and I think that the Islamic should live and stay where they are, and we, East is East and West is West, and never the twain shall meet, as they say. Are there people in the UK that feel that way too?
A vast majority of the, it seems like a vast majority of the white population is starting to move towards that. That entire aspect of life. It's about time that the East went back to the East instead of the East coming to the West. Because if you come over to our country, I agree with them totally as well. I mean, if you come over to our country, you should fall into our traditions, our speech, our language, our way of life.
Instead of expecting us
to try and conform to yours.
Yeah, that's called assimilation, and it has worked. Mike, I have multiple callers in hold, and I do want to invite you to call back next week. I'm here every Wednesday at the same time. And thank you so much for calling in, my friend. I hope that we get to speak again soon.
See you later.
Thank you, sir. All right. We are definitely an international show. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, how you going?
How you doing? Who's this?
This is Greg from Australia.
Okay, Greg from Australia. What part of Australia are you in?
I'm in the southeast region.
Is that Adelaide?
Yeah.
Okay, and what's on your mind, Greg? I mean, James? I mean, Russell? I mean, sir?
Basically, I've been listening in, and I noticed you guys are talking a lot about, you know, Islamic culture and, you know, Eastern and Western civilization and, you know, its relative impact on society and, you know, and what it does, you know, on a social scale. And, you know, in Australia, we have a very multicultural society. You know, in the 30s and just after the war, we had what was known as the White Australia policy, which was basically if you came to Australia, you had to assimilate, you had to blend into the culture. Unfortunately, it was a massive failure. And what we ended up having was communities of these god-awful immigrants just, you know, clustering together in little suburbs outside of the, you know, main cities. And what's happened now is in the major cities, you know, you have all these different ethnic communities in different suburbs and whatnot. So now we've abandoned the White Australia policy a long time ago. I think it was the 60s or the 70s or something like that. You know, we had a massive influx of refugees for that Vietnam War. Hey, remember that war you guys started? Remember where all the people went? Thanks for that. Yeah, cheers. So, you know, we had a massive influx of Vietnamese immigrants come over after the war and stuff like that. And, you know, that you'll see them in massive parts of Cabramatta in Sydney and Liverpool. And when I go back to Sydney sometimes and, you know, you drive through the streets and, you know, one second you feel like you're in China, the next second you feel like you're in Lebanon, the next second you feel like you're in freaking Italy, you know, the next second you're like, there's so many different cultures all living together peacefully in one of the most functioning nations on earth. And, you know, it just makes me think, you know, Australians are so prosperous and so happy as a people. Like, obviously we've gone wrong somewhere, you know, we haven't taken up the adoptive, you know, American culture of everybody should get the fuck out of our country sort of thing, like you guys have sort of thing. And
sir. Listen, I told the last caller, we just don't use that sort of language on the air. I'm going to put you back on the air, but you can't say things like that on the air here. So go ahead and you know, get to the end of your point, sir, because I do want to get to the next caller.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So, you know, we've got all these different communities living peacefully and stuff. And, you know, it kind of makes me question, you know, you say stuff like, Muslims can't exist in Western culture. I mean, I could, you know, but, you know, I go to Sydney and you go to a suburb like Lakemba and it looks like you're in, you know, Lebanon or something like that. And yeah, okay, you've got a 40% chance to get shot more than you usually would if you went a couple suburbs over. But, I mean, they function and they pay taxes and they're, you know, they vote and they're members of society. And, you know, when they go to the pub, they get yelled at, you know, oh, you fucking Muzi cunt, you know, like, yeah, it happens.
Okay, all right. All right, sir. I gave that gentleman a couple of opportunities, and he just couldn't get with the program. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
My name is Hank Hill, and I'm the block captain.
Of?
What, are you turning into some kind of feminist?
You are the block captain of what, sir? Oh, this is the black. Okay. All right. I thought you said block. All right, Hank, how are you doing?
Sometimes
are
the system fails.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Hank. I'm glad to hear from you. Go ahead, buddy.
Propane accessories.
I'm not really understanding you. Go ahead. Go ahead. You've got the floor.
Does your father know you're doing this?
Does who know I'm doing this?
Does your mother know you're doing this?
No, sir. My mom passed away a while ago, so... Anyway, it sure gets interesting. This is Radio Free America at conservativenationradio.org. Why don't we go ahead and try to get caught up on a couple of things here. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sure. Humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Suffice it to say that the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg, the surrender of Vicksburg, the investment by Union forces at Fort Wagner, Charleston Harbor, that was all about 150 years ago. We have many people calling in. So let's go right to the phones. You're live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, my name is Michael Mustafa Clark. I just want to call in and say I disagree with your view on Muslim. Muslim is very peaceful society. It's very Western. It's very comfortable for people to integrate and live with peacefully. And I call in to voice my opinion.
Okay, so in other words, basically what you're saying is that Islam is the most peaceful religion in the world, and anybody that says that it isn't is going to be beheaded. Is that right?
Islam is one of many religions on this earth. And you have the Christian and the Jew, and you have all these different religions, and all live on this earth. And the Muslim is just one. In the live, you would Muslim men want to live in Africa, Russia, America. Does not matter. It's just Muslim men or Muslim women or whatever. If you have, if you think we think or Muslim men go to invade America with immigrants. That's our plan. You're stupid. Everybody's stupid. We men, like we everybody men. So I call in. I work hard. I run kebab shop, falafel, halal. Everything very work very hard. Pay tax. Feed wife. Feed goat. Goat is good. I just want to say, laugh hard for everybody. You know, come on, buddy. Like, I understand. You know, I call in to let you know. You know, Muslim. You know, Christian. Same apple, orange. You know, goat. Cow, different, you know.
Thank you, sir.
Oh.
Okay, pal, I'm going to give you one more shot, but you mentioned my mom again, and I'm going to find you, and I'm going to seek you out, and I'm going to take more than my time back. So what is your name and where are you calling from?
And please your blank with my tongue and make you blank over and over.
Okay, sir. That sounds like something that you should be telling your psychiatrist. It is the bottom of the hour right now here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. The number is 718-305-7176. I often joke about the inmates running this particular asylum, and in this case, I think that is actually what has happened. Anyway, we're going to take a real quick break here. I did want to update you. I mentioned my buddy Christopher Manti a short while ago, and I do want you to listen to his program, The Christopher Manti Show, or The Eponymous Show, as we call it. Listen, you don't know what eponymous means? Look it up. You know, what am I, some kind of a, what am I, fucking Wagnalls here? If you don't know what basic words in the English language like eponymous mean, look them up. Maybe you didn't pay attention in school. Maybe your teacher was a union person, which is why you don't know what eponymous means. Anyway, the reason I mention that is that when Chris speaks about LifeLock, he does, and he always says, hey, let's talk about LifeLock. You got a moment? Let's talk about LifeLock. Those of us here at conservativenationradio.org are very proud to be associated with LifeLock because it is the most effective and obviously the most well-known identity security and credit monitoring service that there is. I mean, obviously. LifeLock, as you know, is a lot more than just a typical run-of-the-mill credit monitoring service. No. LifeLock helps to protect your personal info with a combination of data surveillance and outstanding member service 24/7, 365, there really is nothing that even comes close to LifeLock. And now, or as the late Ed Koch would have said, and now, Conservative Nation Radio is proud to announce that when you join LifeLock, you get the first 30 days for free and 10% off the regular price from then on, only through us. ConservativeNationRadio.org. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad you did. More of your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Although at this moment you are listening to Adi Amos on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks here. Must be a full moon or something. Let's see what's going on. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Dare you fill my head with such loathsome propaganda?
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Silence! I offer you one last chance for deliverance. Mark my words. When the world is mine, your death shall be quick and painless. There, I've gone and soiled myself.
Well, I'd love to stay and chat, but you're a total bitch.
Lovely bear, the Norwegian blue. Beautiful plumage. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this? You're on the air, sir or ma'am.
Yes, this
going
is sir.
Once.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas, and I'm doing great today. Just trying to endure the heat today, going through that heat wave.
Yeah, what part of Texas are you in?
I'm south.
Whereabouts, like Brownsville, McAllen, or Houston, or where?
Corpus Christi, actually.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I know a guy who is from Corpus Christi. He lives in Delaware now. He's a great guy. What
cool.
is Corpus Christi like, and what's on your mind? What's your name, by the way?
My name is George, and, you know, I've been listening to the show, and I have some concerns. You know, lately I've been hearing a lot of talk about the Social Security income, how by the time our younger generations get older enough to get it, we won't be able to get it, and we're just taken out of our paychecks for nothing.
I think that's about right, yes.
You know,
it's a serious problem. It's a very serious problem because, George, let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself to be conservative, liberal, moderate, middle of the road, apolitical, what? What, you know, how would you describe yourself politically?
I consider myself a neutralist.
A what?
A neutralist.
A neutralist. What exactly is that?
Well, I don't allow myself to pick either side. I'm in between. I'm in the middle. I'm holding up the white flag. So I'm a neutralist.
Do you think that's wise?
In my opinion, yes, because it's looking from both parties. I don't like either both Democratic or Republican parties.
All right, let me ask you this question. Which one of these following two statements do you think is correct? Here's statement number one. 3 - 4 = -1. There's statement number one, okay? Here is statement number two. 3 - 4 = you're a racist. Which one of those two statements is correct in your view?
Well, if you want my honest opinion, it'd be a mix of 1 and 2.
It's between 1 and 2.
Sure.
Okay. And how old are you, George?
I am 23, sir. I go to Corpus University.
And what are you studying?
Engineering.
And what types of things do you wish to design?
Bridges. I'm going to be in the construction field.
Very fine. Well, listen, my friend, you're going to be paying money into Social Security. You're not going to be able to get a dime out of it. You cannot take 4 away from 3 and still have something.
Your community could be, you know, the people could be doing anything about that.
They could do something about it if they wanted to, but they don't. You know, at the end of the day, people get the government they deserve. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, you've got low-information voters. You've got a low-information media. you have people that don't care, and they don't even know that they don't care. That's the scary thing about it. George, I've got some other callers, but thank you so much for calling in, and I do hope to hear from you again.
And I just got here. I sprang with the equipment like lightning disappeared. I whistled for a cab, and when it came near, the license plate said fresh and it had dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, in jeder Stunde, an jedem Tag, nur zu denken an Deutschland.
Yes, wir bauen auf den jawohligen Obergruppen Sturmbahnführer. Okay, you know, as I mentioned, it must be a full moon, and here's, you know, I see the same number. I don't know. You know, I'm going to give these guys another few seconds before I have to do something that matters. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
It's me, George. I don't have speakers on my computer, so I was listening through my phone. So
Okay. Yeah, so you just want to listen then? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How many Dungeon and Dragon points are you going to get if you get me to say either the number 9,000, the term barrel roll, or talk about mud kips?
If I told you, would you say over 9,000?
Over 9,000. Thank you very much. Know all about that. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this? The Bene Gesserit witch must leave. Okay. You know, why don't we go ahead and start talking about TradAm, traditionalamericanmovement.com. Those of us who pay attention to things and those of us who have IQs that are measurable above 40 are very well aware that the leftist media in this country wants conservatives like us to think that we are in the vast minority. The leftist media, the people at MSNBC, the New York Times, they want people like us to think that they're in the majority. We're just a few lonely voices out there in the wilderness. Don't buy it for a minute. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to almost every poll that's out there, even the ones by liberals. Now, if you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It is traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAm, as we say here around in the CNR office building, which is one of the largest office buildings you've ever seen. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives like us can meet up, minus those pesky turf wars, find out what's new in the conservative community. So here's what you do. Join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon because, thank goodness, TradAm is a liberal-free website. I just wish that I lived in a liberal-free world. That's my own personal, that's my Christmas wish. Yeah, maybe somebody will grant me that for my birthday. I have no idea. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this? I guess it is nobody. I am no one. I am no one. All right, let's see here. I may as well put everyone on hold except this one. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Gangsta rap, nigga.
No, I don't think so. You know, I just not gonna do it. Not gonna do it. You are live on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Who's
this?
Yes, this is Christian Kjells, again from Denmark.
Hey, what's going on, Christian? How are you?
Hey, hi. I've just been listening to the show here since it was on, and I just thought I would call and give you some backup. It looks like some weird liberal guys have been targeting your show tonight and want to sabotage it.
Well, you know, that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me for a variety of reasons. Number one, I'm pretty sure I know who these guys are. Number two, I'm a grown-up, and it just doesn't bother me. You know, it doesn't bother me. I think it's entertaining. There's some people who don't think it is, but hey, listen, you know, this is America, and we're supposed to be all about freedom of choice over here, you know? When are you coming over to the States, Christian? When are you coming to the States? I want you to come over to the States so you can visit and you can see all these places in real life that you've been seeing on TV and hearing about and everything else.
Well, it's going to be a bit difficult, as I told you before. But what I wanted to say about the all these crank calls, it's very typical of the left, because the left and the liberals, the so-called liberals, they're not that liberal when it comes to it, they often talk about the things should be free and free speech and all that, and they should have the right to, you know, like paint weird pictures with teeth and stuff. But they don't really believe in free speech. When people have different views, like you do, good people like you, and like nationalistic people over here in Europe have different views, then we get attacked. Even on the streets, nationalistic pro-Christian organizations in Europe can't have demonstrations without being attacked on the street. It's not like, you know, you can have a rally and then just have it in peace. No, we get attacked in the streets by these very left-leaning guys because they don't really believe in free speech. And basically, the guys that are giving you crank calls tonight, they don't really believe that you should have the right to say come out with your conservative views on things. And I really think that's a problem in our society today, that we have one group that are trying to silence and sabotage the other side. And that's not good for the democracy process.
Christian, that's what the left has always been all about, from Hitler to Stalin to Mao and Castro, Ho Chi Minh, Pol Pot. They're all leftists, and they're all about trying to keep their opposition silent. Barack Obama, the same thing. Christian, I've got to go, but I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Always a pleasure. All righty, let's take care of a little bit of business. More of your calls are coming up. I've got a couple of people on hold here, and we'll see whether or not that they have matured enough to actually go on the air when we get back. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. Being attacked by the Mad Mudkip barrel-rolling bombers all over the world tonight. And you know what? Back in 2009, when I had a talk show on what is really one of the great local radio talk show stations in the United States, it's here in southern Delaware, these guys found my show and they called and they would try to trick me into saying certain words like mudkips and barrel rolls, and I don't get it. They're down in their mom's basement doing bees. I'm pretty positive of that. Just about 10 minutes to go now, and I want to welcome my friend Christopher Manti to Radio Free America. How are you, my friend?
I'm feeling more free by the moment. Hey, is it okay if I'm in my basement?
I you know, there's a rumor going around you've got some relatives, specifically your mother-in-law is there this week, and
no,
that's
pretty much
the deal, isn't it?
Well, my actual mother, she's visiting from Florida. I chained her upstairs right now so I can come talk to you fine folks. Yeah.
Well, listen, please give your mom my very best, and listen, at some point soon, obviously you and I had emails and we were doing phone tag and everything. My good friend Simon, who lives in Milford, was asking what the signs are in the Book of Revelation that Jesus is soon to return to earth. And is that something you're going to be speaking about Friday afternoon on the Christopher Manti Show?
How did you know that? Yeah, absolutely correct. I hope you weren't going to ask me to address that in the last segment of your show.
No,
not I have a lot
indeed.
Of talent for that, but that's
yes,
not one of them.
But nobody has that much talent, Christopher. Nobody has that much talent, okay?
I'm working at it. But this is true. Friday at 5 o'clock Eastern time, beginning at 5, I will begin to expound on that exact question, because we're trolling through the entire book, and we're going to hit chapter 10, start on 10, and maybe do 11, maybe do 12, who knows, we'll see how it goes, as well as the various and sundry news items of the day. I'm sure it's 2 days, it's a long ways from now. By that time, we could be spying on the North Pole and all that stuff. So who knows what will actually come up, but, rest assured it'll be entertaining.
Listen, why not? I know for a fact that the North Pole is spying on us. I mean,
they deserve it.
Hey, turnabout is fair play, man. I got to be honest with you. I know that those little elves up there, they look all cute and everything. They're a bunch of commies, every one of them. They're spying on us.
Listen, Mr. Brooks, all I know is 3 minus 4 is racist.
Yeah, that's right. 3 minus 4 equals you're a racist. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, my buddy.
You got it, man. Talk to you all soon.
All right, pal. Have a great night. Bye. Always a pleasure. Christopher Manti, everybody. Love that guy. What a great guy. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hello, Duke. This is Bill from southern Delaware. We haven't spoken in a while. I'm in Dagsboro.
What's going on, pal?
I just caught the end of your show. I was having a little problem with my wife's computer, so I didn't get to hear all of it except for the people that hadn't taken their meds today.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are still on hold. I think I recognize a couple of those voices from the old days at the old radio station when they found me. And I thought it was a panic back then, and I think it's a panic now, and who knows. So what have you been up to lately, buddy?
Well, being retired, I don't I I've just been working on my baseball card collection. I have quite a few.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you have? What do you got that's good?
Right now I got a Yu Darvish autograph with patches on it. It's worth a couple hundred bucks.
Whoa.
He's pitched.
How about Cal Ripken? Do you have any? You have any?
I have a Ripken autograph. I have a Hank Aaron autograph, along to go around with about the other 150,000 cards I have.
Hmm. How about Roy Hobbs?
No.
Well, that's the one that I would want, but that's just me, you know.
But that's fiction.
Well, hey, listen. You know, it's kind of like the liberals say, Bill, it's not a lie if you really believe it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a terrific movie, though.
It is one of the best. I think it's one of the best baseball movies. That, Eight Men Out, and one that I've seen recently that I just became aware of last year is called Moneyball with Brad Pitt. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have. Yeah, that was quite good, too. And, well,
that is a
superior
film.
Speaking of movies, the bumper music you just played was that of my favorite movie of all time.
Pittsburgh? I've never even been to Pittsburgh, right? You know? I remember the time that you called me at the radio station, and I asked you, what is your favorite movie? And without hesitation, you said North by Northwest. And, you know, it is truly one of the greatest films. It's one of the top 10 movies that's ever been made. Wouldn't you agree?
I sure would. I mean, there have been a lot of other movies that I really like, but that one still sticks with me. I can't replace it.
Yeah.
I'm crazy about The Usual Suspects.
You know, what's the name of the guy? Kevin Spacey. What is that film? I mean, it's got a great title, which that, of course, comes from Casablanca, which was written by Ernst Lehman. But what is the plot of that film? Sum it up in 30 seconds or so, if you can.
I certainly can't do it because there's so many plots involved. It's one of those things. It's one of those movies you have to sit down and watch twice.
Okay.
Please rent it when you get a chance.
All right, very fine. Or maybe Linda and I will have you come over here and I'll put on a real good dinner because, you know, I love to cook. And didn't you call in one time and I was explaining how to make veal marsala over the air?
No.
Was that somebody else named Bill?
No, I'm the one that's begging for your chili recipe.
It's never going to happen, sir.
Okay? I know.
It's never going to happen. Now, I will tell you this.
You gave me some clues, and I've got a good thing going.
Okay, all right. If you, at some point, why don't you and I will figure out a way to meet somewhere. I'll bring you some chili. Some of my chili, which you
that
can,
would that would be fantastic.
Have.
Well, it's summertime now, but I sure would be looking forward to some at a football game or something like that.
You know, chili is one of those foods, Bill. The way I look at it, it is never too hot for hot chocolate. It's never too hot for chili. It is never too cold for ice cream. That's just the kind of guy I am. Yeah, you know, I love them all.
All right, I can concur with you on those.
All right, thank you for calling, my friend. I hope to hear from you next Wednesday. I'm here Wednesday night. There's no getting away from me.
How do I get a hold of you email wise?
Why don't you? Are we friends on Facebook?
No, I got out of Facebook.
All right, I just don't want to give out.
Hmm?
I understand. Are you in our chat room right now?
No, I'm not. Tell you what, you may have me in your mailbox somewhere if you saved my address.
I don't have that old GMD address anymore. Why don't you just call back, and I do have to go right now, but, Bill, call back next week and – We will hook up somehow. Thanks for being along.